by. We're about to begin. Good day, and welcome to the National Employment Network Payments Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Sean Walcott, Payments Manager. Please go ahead.
Thank you, John. Welcome, and thank you for attending the All-EN Payments Call today, Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. I'm Sean Walcott, EN Payments Manager and host of the call. Joining me in our McLean office is Deborah Tennessee, Ticket Program Manager. And on the line, on behalf of the Social Security Administration, I have Katie Streibinger, Natalie Sendeldorfer, and Shannon Morgan. Thank you all for joining the call. The purpose of today's presentation is to convey information by providing insight into the payments process as it associates with the following agenda topics: ePay status update, clarification of portal message, earnings already proven, how to obtain reports via the ticket portal, how to obtain a missing payment processing report, how to avoid payment processing delays associated with denials, incorrect payments, 2017 trial work level and SGA rates, and the 2017 payment rates. Let's get started. You can check the status of ePay by viewing the announcement screen in the portal. The portal will display the announcement that ePay has started and a message when we complete processing an ePay file. Starting in January 2017, the All-EN Payments call moved to a quarterly schedule. In 2017, our remaining calls will be held April 25th, July 25th, and October 31st. The Ticket Program Available Resources section of this presentation highlights the service accommodations available to you at any time to reinforce principles and get other relevant payment information in between calls. Our current ePay file processing ended on March 31, 2017. The total claims paid was $24,689. The total SSNs paid was $7,034. The total amount paid was $15,888,388. As a reminder, you may submit your payment request through the ticket portal instead of waiting for the ePay process to run. Additionally, please ensure that your EN payment contact information is current. We email the payment contact for payment outreach messages and confirmation of possible split payments. When submitting information to the ENST about payments, please annotate your EN contact information for payments. To add a payment contact, please send a request to the EN service at ssa.gov and specify the name of the person and indicate the title you want them to have. All payments contacts must have past suitability. Recently, we have received quite a few inquiries regarding the portal message, earnings already proven. In this segment of the presentation, we will provide clarification of this message. The ticket portal checks to see if there are sufficient earnings in SSA's records each time a payment request is initiated. When you submit a payment request via the portal, the system automatically checks to see if there are sufficient alleged or proven earnings in SSA's records to allow the payment. This earnings check does not guarantee payment. You may be asked for additional earnings documentation. In this example, enough earnings were found for the claim month that met the trial work level requirement. No further action is needed at this time. Click Submit to create the payment request. If you submit a payment request and then are instructed to provide additional earnings documentation, please make certain that the evidentiary earnings are used, for example, pay stubs, the work number, and the employer earnings statement. We can only approve payments using evidentiary earnings. ENs have 9 business days to submit the earnings evidence. If not submitted within this time frame, the claim is denied with the reason insufficient documentation. We will now proceed to the next portion of the presentation, how to obtain a payment processing report from the ticket portal. During this segment, we will discuss required steps to process a payment report from the ticket portal. There are two options to view payment status from the payments section of the main menu. The first is to view payments already made to me. This includes all payments that are closed and also includes both paid and denied requests. The second option, view all pending payments for me, includes all payments that are still open. Pending payments will include all payments that have not been sent to Treasury yet. From the main menu, select the View All Ticket Payments Already Made to Me link, and the List Already Made to Me screen will display. You may search here for ticket payments already made to your EN or state VR agency for all beneficiaries based on date, and you can include denials. Enter the dates you wish to retrieve and select Search. The start and end dates cannot be more than a year apart. However, you can search for prior years. The results will display as shown here. Claims listed on this screen are ones where TPM has completed your payment request. Paid means TPM processed the claim and it cleared Treasury. Denied means TPM assessed the claim and determined it was not payable. Allowed means TPM assessed and paid a claim and has not yet cleared Treasury. ENs should wait 30 days before contacting TPM to investigate claims that remain in the allowed status. The denial column will list a code number. Select the denial number link to retrieve a pop-up window and description of denial reason. To learn more about why this payment was denied, you can create a report by downloading all your completed payments to Excel. Select the Download Entire List to Excel option highlighted here. From the main menu, select the View All Pending Ticket Payments for Me link, and the Pending Payments for Me screen will display. Here, you will be able to see all your organization's pending ticket payments. These are payments that have not yet been processed. Each payment request you submit through the portal is displayed here immediately after it is created. These claims could be outstanding receipts, not yet worked, or claims placed in diary awaiting information such as evidence of earnings or renewal of SAM registration. For example, if your case is diarized, you will see a Y in the diary column. Clicking on Actions will bring you to another menu where you can see the reason your case is diarized and print an additional cover sheet if needed. You can also view pending payments for an individual beneficiary by going to the main menu and selecting the List Beneficiaries Currently Assigned to Me link. You would select the Actions link on the page for an individual beneficiary. This will take you to the More Actions menu. You would then select Show Pending Payments. The difference between the View Pending Payments for Me and the Show Pending Payments functions is one shows all pending payments for your organization, while the other shows all pending payments for the one beneficiary that you selected. You can create a report by downloading all your pending payments to Excel. Select the Download Entire List to Excel option highlighted here. While you can view your completed and pending payment requests in the portal, the payment processing report is a notice that is mailed to your EN. An example of that report is on the next slide. The payments processing report is an accounting of each payment Social Security makes to an employment network. Social Security forwards a payment processing report to the EN's designated payments contact each time. Social Security notifies the U.S. Department of Treasury to make a direct deposit to the EN's designated bank account. ENs who did not receive the Employment Network Payment Processing Report for a specific payment can send an email to the en.helpdesk@ssa.gov email address. You must include your DUNS, the correct mailing address, and the date of the missing payment. The next portion of our presentation will illustrate how to avoid payment denials. How to avoid denials. Manage and monitor the payment history of your ticket holders. Ask the beneficiary prior to or during the intake process to contact their local SSA office or the main SSA 800 number to request a benefits planning query or BPQI. An EN may request a BPQI by submitting two SSA 3288 forms. This is consent for release of information that have not been signed by the beneficiary. One is to authorize the release of Social Security records and the other to authorize the release of Internal Revenue Service earnings records. Both releases must contain the beneficiary's Social Security number or claim number. You can also request evidentiary earnings documentation from the beneficiary. The following are considered evidentiary: pay stubs, employer earnings statement, or the work number. Request previous pay stubs, employer earnings statements, or the work number as part of their intake or once the ticket is assigned. This will give you an idea of which, if any, milestones to submit. You can also make certain the payment documentation submitted have accurate earnings information listed. If you are submitting earnings evidence, make sure that you are providing the most appropriate documentation to meet the requirements of the payment request. We may also perform an outreach to an EN asking to submit additional documentation or clarification to support the original request. There is a 9-day diary period to respond, and we typically send outreach requests before denying the request. But there is a cutoff point, and it's important to pay attention to those outreach requests. We send for documentation, and please respond quickly. The denial code reference table is a compiled list of payment denial reasons and associated codes viewed in the portal. Employment networks take the time to evaluate their denials and reason codes and have an opportunity to prevent future situations that may result in denials. Organizations can benefit by improving their company efficiency in preventing denials by having a better insight of payment-related procedures, which will in turn reduce payment request revisions and increase company cash flow. At this time, we will discuss the process of incorrect payments, how it can negatively impact ENs, and different methods of reimbursement. Incorrect payments occur when information becomes available to Social Security that a payment made previously to an EN was not valid. A payment to an EN can be invalidated by the discovery of qualifying earnings, information, or successful state VR agency case closures. Once Social Security staff determines that the incorrect payment exists, they will send an email to the EN. The communication will state the reason for the incorrect payment and options available to the EN to repay that money. The reimbursement options are immediate payment by check, make an arrangement to pay in installments, or have future payments withheld until the balance is covered. If Social Security does not receive a response from the EN to the incorrect payment notice, they will withhold any future payments to the EN until the incorrect payment has been recouped. Social Security does not recoup payments specifically from the SSN that was improperly paid. Social Security can recoup money from any payment for any beneficiary assigned to the EN until the incorrect payment has been cleared. Recoupment of the incorrect payments are handled by Social Security. The EN must respond to Social Security's incorrect payment notice, but if you reach out to the EN Payments Help Desk, please forward the communication that you receive from Social Security to expedite a response. ENs can help beneficiaries by doing the following: encouraging beneficiaries to report their earnings in a timely manner, encouraging all beneficiaries that are self-employed to file their income taxes by April 15th. For example, familiarizing beneficiaries who are self-employed with pertinent tax forms, such as the 1040, Schedule C, Schedule F, and Schedule SE. Encouraging beneficiaries to report their earnings directly to their claims representatives, and to request written documentation of earnings as reported each month. Informing beneficiaries that they may contact the Social Security field office and voluntarily request suspension of benefits to avoid or reduce a possible overpayment. This is different than just reporting earnings. A voluntary request for suspension may be processed when the beneficiary has completed the grace period after trial work period, or is not entitled to a trial work period, or is in the expedited reinstatement period. If a beneficiary thinks he or she should no longer get monthly benefits, another alternative is for the beneficiary to simply keep all future checks or deposit them in a separate bank account to collect interest until it is clear whether or not benefits should have been suspended. I'd like to move on and draw our attention to the next topic of the presentation, the 2017 ticket payment rates. To be eligible for disability benefits, a person must be unable to engage in substantial gainful activity, or SGA. A person who is earning more than a certain monthly amount is ordinarily considered to be engaging in SGA. The amount of monthly earnings considered as SGA depends on the nature of a person's disability. The Social Security Act specifies a higher SGA amount for statutorily blind individuals. Federal regulations specify a lower SGA amount for non-blind individuals. The monthly SGA amount for statutorily blind individuals for 2017 is $1,950. For non-blind individuals, the monthly SGA amount for 2017 is $1,170. SGA for the blind does not apply to SSI benefits, while SGA for non-blind disabled applies to Social Security and SSI benefits. Trial work period is after a person becomes eligible for disability benefits, the person may attempt to return to the workforce. As an incentive, we provide a trial work period in which beneficiary may have earnings and still collect benefits. The trial work level amount for 2017 is $840. The milestone outcome payment system offers two sets of milestones payments in addition to a set of outcome payments. Milestone payments offer Employment Network some financial compensation prior to benefit cessation. This creates financial incentive for ENs to work with beneficiaries who might take longer to achieve earnings high enough to result in the cessation of disability benefits. This means the first month of the trial work earnings needed to qualify for Phase 1 Milestone 1 counts towards the 3 months of trial work level earnings needed to qualify for Phase 1 Milestone 2. The 3 months of trial work level earnings needed to qualify for Phase 1 Milestone 2 counts towards the 6 months of earnings needed to qualify for Phase 1 Milestone 3, and so on. The payment rates listed are payment to the EN under both the milestone and outcome payment system and the outcome-only payment system. The milestone outcome payment system offers two sets of milestone payments, Phase 1 and Phase 2, as well as subsequent outcome payments. Phase 1 milestones, Social Security establishes the same rate for all Phase 1 milestones, regardless of the disability program to which the ticket holder is entitled. Outcome payments are available to an EN if the ticket holder continues to have monthly earnings that meet or exceed SGA amounts and his or her ability benefits have ceased. If these criteria are met, and as long as the ticket holder continues to work and earn at this level, the EN can submit for tickets payments 36 months for SSDI beneficiaries. If the ticket holder is a SSI beneficiary, it is up to 60 months. Under the outcome payment system, an employment network can submit a request for payment when a ticket holder's earnings meet or exceed the amount Social Security designates annually as substantial gainful activity, and the ticket holder enters the zero cash benefits, i.e. is no longer for federal monthly disability checks. As with the milestone outcome payment system, Social Security uses two monthly SGA amounts depending on the type of disability. We'll now proceed to the 2017 Payments at a Glance document. These are dollar amounts allowed for monthly payments for any Your Ticket to Work clients achieve in January through December of 2017. Social Security released 2017 payment amounts, which include the average monthly benefit for income with SSI and SSDI beneficiaries, the monthly earnings that will be used to determine the trial work level and substantial gainful activity, and the ticket payment rates for employment for employment networks. Now, this is important information is available in the attached 2017 Payments at a Glance document. In addition to the EN payment rates, of particular interest to ENs is the annual earnings increases for SGA and trial work level, which are listed. The SGA amount for 2017 is $1,170 for beneficiaries with disabilities other than blindness, and $1,950 for beneficiaries who are blind or visually impaired. The trial work amount for 2017 is $840. To view the 2000 payments at a glance, you could go to yourtickettowork.com/informationcenter/resource documents. We will finish this discussion with a review of what resources are available to you if you have further questions or need additional details about anything we presented today. The portal automates many operational functions you do throughout the day. Besides uploading payment request forms and viewing the EN payment status report, as we reviewed previously, some additional automated features that the portal offers include checking for ticket assignability, assigning or unassigning tickets, and uploading forms. TPM provides website resources for service providers. ENs can also visit the Information Center section of the website to obtain additional information, resource documents, and training materials on a wide variety of topics. The Information Center also includes a listing of upcoming events, including conference calls, that service providers can attend. The training section within the Information Center also includes PowerPoint presentations from past Ticket Training Tuesday calls. To access the Ticket to Work website, please go to yourtickettowork.com. The Secure Training and Resources site was created to ensure the highest level of security for you and the beneficiaries you serve. You can only access the site using the link included in the welcome letter you receive via email with your login information for the portal. The Ticket Portal User Guide is a resource to have at your fingertips when using the Ticket Portal. The reference to consult before contacting us with any question. For new ENs, information on how to access training and the resources site was included in the welcome letter you received with confirmation of your completed enrollment into the Ticket Portal program. The preferred method of tracking the status of submitted payment requests is to use the Ticket Portal and take advantage of real-time updates. However, if an EN is unable to use the Ticket Portal for any reason, it also has the option to send manual payments and status inquiries to the EN Payments Help Desk at the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com, or you can call the toll-free number displayed on the screen. ENs can also obtain clarification on payment-related issues or explanations of EN Payments staff's apply ticket policies and procedures to make payment and payment denial assessments. Answer EN payment inquiries received through the Payments Help Desk phone line, submit requests to the EN payment staff for payment reconsideration or for payment supervisor to review a payment issue, outreach to ENs to obtain payment-related documentation when EN payment staff report missing or incomplete information from payment requests ENs submit. The Ticket Operations Helpline is available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Both the Payment Help Desk and the System Support Desk are accessible by choosing option 2 and 3, respectively. The Payment Help Desk is available to answer all your questions regarding payments policy or status under the ticket program, while the System Support Desk has representatives available to assist you with any technological issues you encounter using the ticket portal, questions about the ticket assignments, or TPR questions. This will complete the presentation portion of our call, and I would like to start our question and answer session at this time. Deborah, do we have any questions presented in the chat room at this time?
Yes, there's one question I just received. This is from Marianne Lavoie. Would SSA ever consider extending the time an approved person can work in the SSA before being prompted to extend their access? The allowed time is a very short period to conduct work. Even 5 more minutes would be greatly appreciated. I think, and Katie, this may be a question for you. I think she's asking, would SSA continue extending the time to actually work in the portal itself? I guess before timing out is the question.
Hi, this is Katie. You can, as long as you keep moving around in the portal, as long as you keep clicking, you will not get kicked out of the portal. It's a timeout issue. If it senses that you haven't done any action in the portal, it's making the assumption that you're not there in front of your computer. And if you're not there in front of your computer, it's a security risk. So it is a security requirement that SSA has to follow, that if you're not moving around in the portal and, you know, clicking or scrolling, that it will kick you out. So we can't extend that time. That is, we're required to follow that time. So my advice to you is just to make sure if you start noticing you're doing a certain action every time you get kicked out, maybe you need to, if you were studying payments or payment requests. Sorry, I'm trying to read the chat as I'm missing. So we have the function where you can download, you know, your pending payments or your completed payments to an Excel spreadsheet, because then you can sit and look at it off the portal without you being in the portal having to stay active, but that is what that does.
Thank you, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions, Deborah, in the chat room?
This is a comment, Katie, maybe something you can check into. One EN has stated that they have been in the middle of several ENs has listed that they have been in the middle of submitting a request, payment request, and they got booted out at the end. So it may be something going on there. Then Kevin has asked, how long does it take from the point a beneficiary is awarded a disability, a termination, until they are eligible for Ticket to Work services? There seems to be a 45-day delay. I know that, I don't know the exact time frame. I do know that once an award is made for disability, that, you know, the system knows the date that award is approved and automatically will send out notification or mail a ticket. That's what the system will show, that the ticket is mailed. Now, from that period, once that ticket is mailed and a beneficiary assigns the ticket, of course, they can receive services right away. But I'm not sure what the time frame is as far as Social Security sending out notification or mailing the tickets after the award. Let's see. Lisa has asked, will earnings be processed already for self-employed consumers who have filed their taxes so they can bill for the first quarter of 2016? I'm going to just say the earnings should be there the first quarter of 2016. That's not the way the earnings from, you know, for IRS work. It's either the earnings are going to be there for the whole year of title, for, you know, for 2016, It depends on when the beneficiary filed their taxes, when that information cleared Social Security. So the answer could be yes or no for that one.
Thank you, Deborah.
Kimberly has stated this. Again, Katie, this is just an issue for you to consider. I screenshot my entries before hitting save because sometimes it will drop off the income entry. Hold on a minute. I'm getting so many questions in here. It will drop me off the income entry page. My Benny worked 2 jobs, and I had a lot of information to enter, so it was timing out, I suppose. So I guess what this EN is saying is that they weren't working, and they continued to work, and it was a lot of information, but it's still timed out. Will has asked, how current are the earnings in the portal? Well, it depends on, and the answer to that, it all depends. It depends on whether the beneficiary has submitted that information directly to Social Security, and we may have some monthly earnings posted. Then we may have some quarterly earnings. So it all depends on how quickly the beneficiary reports their earnings to Social Security. And again, the question, how current are the earnings? It's possible we're in the month of, well, we're almost in May. It may be, once we get to May, you may have earnings in there for March, as early as March. So, again, it's how often beneficiaries report their earnings directly to Social Security, and Social Security gets that information in the system. Someone asked, other than during the grace period, what other requests would be considered for phase two payment? Phase two, one thing about ticket payments, they have to be made in order. You can submit a request for a phase two payment anytime after all available phase one milestone payments are made. So, when I say available, I mean available phase one milestone payments. I'm talking about payments that are not excluded for look-back earnings or for VR closures. If none of those exclusions exist, then that means all four phase one milestone payments have to be paid before we go to phase two milestone payments. And, again, for phase two milestone payments, the beneficiary has to be receiving a federal monthly benefit payment, and the earnings must be at SGA level or above. Okay, Kat Hilgers has listed this statement. I'm looking at the payments at a glance, and I don't understand that up to 60 payments of $450 a month and up to 36 payments of $782 a month, are those the amounts my EN gets? I only know about the 242 and 420 for outcomes. Okay. The $450 a month, let me just say the first $2 amounts, $450 a month and $782 a month, are for outcomes who have selected the outcome-only payment method. So outcome-only payment method means that you're not getting any milestones at all. And that payment rate for outcome-only ENs is a higher rate than it is for milestone outcome payment. The $242 and $420 for outcome, that's saying to me that your EN has signed up for the milestone outcome period. And the dollar amount is lower here because milestone outcome payment method, the EN is eligible for phase one milestones and for phase two milestones in addition to these outcome payments. Okay, and for those who heard the question, if someone asked how soon could they start looking for self-employment earnings that were their 2016, I guess their 2016 income taxes that were filed, someone from SFA, unless in case all of you are not in the chat room, someone from SFA has listed, you can start checking for earnings posted from 2016 in October for self-employment. And that sounds just about right because I do know that most of self-employment earnings may be posted around July, of the next year. Some of them are posted there, but most of them are posted around October. Jamie has written this. We have been given the denial code of 61, and we were never notified by the EM Payments Help Desk as to what information is needed. I had to call the help desk to find out what documentation they were needing. Can you send an email to EMs in that instance? There are times we get emails and times that we do not. And it all depends. I'm not sure. I don't have the code sitting in front of me, but I don't know what a code 61 is. However, if you clicked in the portal when you were in the portal and saw that denial code of 61, it may have given you the reason why it was denied and maybe what you needed. And, you know, when you said you had to call help desk, it all depends. If perhaps you weren't sure what information was needed, so you called the help desk to find that out. That's pretty much what most people do when they're not sure. But we do send outreach emails to some ENs in situations if additional information is needed. But here again, I'm not sure what the code 61 was, so I'm not sure what else you were needing. And then sometimes, as a courtesy, our EM payment staff will submit a request to our help desk to do an outreach message for clarification or whatever, instead of just doing a straight-up denial if the documentation we receive is not sufficient. So, yes, and there are times that we do send it out. It is okay for you to send a request into our EM Payments Help Desk if you don't know exactly what type of what type of information is required. Someone has asked the question.
This is Katie. Can I jump in real quick?
Sure.
I do want to say about the timing out, trying to enter the pace of information.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate it, and our staff appreciates it when you key in the pace of information. But in order to get the information over to us, you really only have to key in the first one. And as long as you submit the pay stubs with it, you know, you fax in the additional pay stubs as the evidence, you only have to really key in the first pay stub if you have evidence of earnings. So if you find that you have a lot to enter and it's timing out on you, then maybe enter a couple and submit the rest to us. That might help your issue instead of you timing out and having to type that all back in again.
Okay,
and then
thanks,
I would say, Deborah, that denial reason is other. And in the portal, the text that staff types after other, the comment does not show up in the portal.
That's okay, and I can understand that now. For the portal, you may get a explanation for a code. It's normally a phrase like beneficiary receiving a federal monthly benefit payment or something like that or other. Now, when we work these cases here at TPM, we may choose that denial code that SSA has identified for the particular denial reason. And we also will input in our system here more information as a comment. For example, there was missing information or you may need another pay stub or whatever. However, as Katie just said, that information does not appear in the portal. So you would have to request that information. If you saw other, you would have to contact our help desk. We have a number of denials that are others, and we do not send something out for each of those. If you receive that and you do not know what the reason is, please contact the help desk. I guess this question came from a certain person who had the question about the different amounts for the outcome payments under the outcome only and the milestone outcome payment method. They asked the question, is this outcome payment method the same as the VR outcome payment? I don't think it is. I'm not sure what VR payments are, but I know they're a lot different than what EN or ticket payments are. Now, under the VR, you may have to be at a SGA level, but I really can't answer that. Katie, would you know the answer to that, or anyone at SSA?
This is Katie. I can chime in. They're not called outcome payments under VR, but VR,
yeah,
you receive one lump sum payment for getting a beneficiary to work for nine and achieving SGA for 9 out of 12 months in a consecutive So if that's what you're referring to, but the outcome payment method is for ticket assignments. It's one of our two ticket payment systems, and it is not the same as the VR cost reimbursement payment system.
Okay. And then Janie has this question. Are you saying that for so many months, we can receive a phase two payment and an outcome payment for each individual working? Janie, this is the way, you know, the process goes under milestone outcome payments. You can receive a phase two milestone if you're under the milestone ticket, milestone outcome payment method. An EN is eligible for all phase one milestones that are available. They are eligible, depending on a program, up to 11 phase two milestones and up to 11 phase two milestone payments for their SSDI beneficiaries and up to 18 phase two milestone payments for their SSI beneficiaries. However, remember the requirement for any type of milestone payment, the beneficiary has to be in care and pay or receiving a federal benefit payment monthly. Once the beneficiary, and they must have earnings at SGA. Sometimes before we get to the 11th phase two milestone payment or the 18th phase two payment, depending on what program the beneficiary is eligible under, the beneficiary may go into a suspense or non-pay payment status due to worker earnings. At that point, they would no longer be eligible for phase two because they're no longer in current pay. At that point, the outcome period would be entered and they would start receiving, the EN would start receiving outcome payments as long as the beneficiary is in a non-pay or suspense payment status due to worker earnings and has earnings at or above SGA. Now, the thing is that some ENs may not have received all of the phase two milestone payments for the particular program the beneficiary was entitled to. Let's say they stopped at phase two milestone five, and it was an SSDI beneficiary. So under that particular program, the EM was entitled to 11 phase two milestones, so six of the phase two milestones they didn't get. And after the EN has received the 12th outcome payment on a beneficiary, the EN is entitled to receive what we call a reconciliation payment. A reconciliation payment will be a lump sum payment to the EN for all milestone payments that they were eligible for and did not receive. So those six phase two outcome payments that they did not get because the beneficiary went into the outcome period prior to the EN getting all 11, at the reconciliation payment, the EN would get that. So the answer to your question is yes. For each beneficiary, as long as the beneficiary meets the requirements for the certain type of payment under the milestone outcome payment method, a benefit, the EN could be entitled to get phase two and outcome payments for each of their beneficiaries. And James has this question. We have bond consumers who we are denied payments for due to the bond offset conflict. With the bond program coming to an end, will we receive payments for these bond consumers, and when can we expect to receive payments? I'm not sure what conflict you're talking about, but these are the rules for payments under ticket for bond beneficiaries. Bond, for those who are I'm trying to make sure I don't use the wrong word. There are bond participants and there are bond beneficiaries. They're two different things. Bond participant is someone who is enrolled in the bond, in the program, and at some point, the offset is going to occur where they will receive a reduced federal benefit payment monthly and continue to work at SGA. Without their benefits stopping completely, they will get a reduced amount. However, until that offset occurs, and the way the offset occurs, a work CDR has to be performed, just like a work CDR has to be performed for beneficiaries who are in current pay before they can go into the outcome period and stop their benefit payments. For bond beneficiaries, a work CDR has to be performed. Then the offset is applied. Once that happens, a bond participant becomes a bond beneficiary, and we can start paying outcome payments to the EN, even though the beneficiary is in current pay. Now, I'm not sure when this program is going to end, but any participant who is a participant and there is an outstanding work CDR that needs to be conducted, once that's conducted, we will make those outcome payments to the EN. Okay. Okay,
thank
and then
you.
Janie said the same thing as Katie for that code 61. It doesn't provide a reason in the portal. I tried looking it up. It's a miscellaneous code, and it's others. And then Bertha, I think it is, said, and this was based on what I have reported, Katie, so are you saying for each month we only need to enter information from one check stub? And yes, Bertha, the answer is yes. However, you can enter that information from the one check stub, but you must print off a cover sheet and fax in the rest of your pay stub so that Max and the staff can enter those earnings into Social Security system. Okay. And then Bertha said, can you please answer the first part of my question? And I don't know what that is. I see about the first pay stub. I don't see anything else from Bertha. Sorry, but I don't see your first question, Bertha. If we have enough time, you can send it in again, but I don't see that in chat room. Are there any more questions for the phone while I'm trying to?
Sure. At this time, I'd like to open up our phone lines for our question and answer forum. John, please advise our audience our phone lines are open for any payment-related topics they would like to discuss.
Yes, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal now by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name before posing your question. Again, that's *1 to ask a question. And we'll take our first question.
Hi, this is Kim Carnley, and I don't know if everybody's shocked on this line, but Deborah Janie, I'm sorry, whose name that was, it said you can just enter one pay stub. You saved me so much time, and I can't help but ask, how long has this been okay to just put in one pay stub? And that could have just, I mean, that question came up so randomly. It came up because people are getting timed out. If no one had said they had been timed out, we would never know that we could have entered one pay stub.
Well,
so that's my question.
Okay, it's always been that way, and we have, if, you know, on these calls, we've said it a number of times to ENs who have had the same question or similar questions that you only have to key in the fake for, you know, just one pay stub, the first pay stub, but it's always been that way.
Really? So how does that work on your end?
Also, in the user guide, does say that you only need to enter one pay stub. And it's in bold.
And even if they have two different jobs. If they have two different jobs, it's okay to just enter one.
Yeah, the key really is that you get us that copy of that pay stub. If you're sending us a pay stub, it's because we don't have the earnings in our system. So in order for you to get that payment, the key is that you are sending us that evidence that we don't have. Whether you type it in the screen or not, you sending us that evidence is what really counts.
Wow.
Because our staff, you know, even if you, when you go and key it all in, which we appreciate that, because if you're not keying it in, the staff here has to key it in. But our staff also does validate everything you key. So you are saving us time by doing it, and we appreciate you for it. But do know that it's not required, especially if you are having these problems getting timed out.
And what about the work number reports? Same thing? Just one line of the number, the work number report? Hello?
Right, just 1 month. Correct. As long as you give us the entire report.
Deborah. Hello?
Hello, Deborah.
I'm sorry. Was somebody speaking?
Yes, I asked an addition. I asked them more to that question. Can you hear me?
Yes. You asked about the work number report, whether you could do one line. Please make sure that that one line that you put in is for the claim month that you're requesting payment. The work number report has payments that, earnings that could go back for years. So just make sure that that first month you're entering, earnings is for the claim month or at least one of the claim months that you're submitting. Well, each request is for one claim month, but make sure it's for the claim month that you're submitting a payment request. Yes, you only have to submit one line.
Wow. Okay, great. Glad to know. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question.
Yes, my name is Cedric Jeffrey. I was calling in regards to the IWP terms and condition where it indicates the ticket holder shall report all earnings to the EN. A lot of my clients, I think once I help them with the service of finding them opportunities, a lot of them don't take that part serious. And I was just wondering if we let Social Security know, could that have an impact on their benefits, which might influence them to do the right thing?
Eventually, Social Security will know. Social Security receives earnings information from multiple sources. If you are an EN and you've received payments by way of e-pay, it's because of the fact that Social Security has earnings information in their database that you may not have had evidence from the beneficiary. So Social Security will get that information anyway at some point. And depending on the level of earnings, Social Security will make the decision to do a work CDR to stop their benefit payments depending on what the earnings level is. But we do, not we, but Social Security will eventually get those earnings. As long as the beneficiary reports, their taxes, and as long as the employers report to their state, to the Office of Child Support and Enforcement, there's different state agencies. There are other ways that Social Security, there are other ways Social Security can get earnings. So eventually we will know here at MAXMIS whether or not you could be eligible for a payment, even though you don't have earnings evidence to submit.
Well, do you think that if I know almost for a fact that my client is working at a particular location and I do contact you to let you know, could that help with the work of trying to locate the situation?
No, you can report it to us. We wouldn't do anything with that. We don't do that type of investigation at all.
Okay. And I've used the work number, but in this case, where there's a certain location where I know this client is, this beneficiary is working at, the work number is not updated at that location. And I contacted the work number and I contacted the employer, and the employer does not want to cooperate.
Right. Yeah.
So I was told by the work number, it's up to the company to update it when they're ready. So I was really shocked with that. But I was just wondering if at least does a letter go out to the beneficiary to let them be aware that we were informed by the Employment Network Service that you have not cooperated in submitting the information to them.
I'm not
because,
aware of any letter that goes out.
Okay, because I thought maybe that might help influence them to do the right thing, because I'm sure if Social Security send them a letter indicating they need to submit the information, they will. But to the employment networks, I don't, to some of them, or myself, ours, it doesn't seem like, in a lot of cases, they go out their way. We do have some that does the right thing, but we have a lot of them don't. So once we help them find work, they MIA, missing in action. And the search is on. And that's why I was just wondering if there was another way could help put pressure for them to do the right thing.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, too, for your information.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, there are no more questions in the queue.
Thank you, John. Deborah, are there any other questions presented in the chat room?
There were two. I just think this was a little confusion about the way we make payments. There was a question someone asked, trying to find it. Wait a minute. If a person stops working, do we still get outcome payments? What do you mean by suspension? Okay. And I responded to that saying, if a person stops working, no, you will not receive payments for claim months the beneficiary is not working. For example, they could be collecting unemployment. So you're only going to get payments for months where the for claim month that the beneficiary has earnings from work. However, you may receive payments for previous months of beneficiary work if the beneficiary is not working now. And what I meant by that is we are in April. Beneficiary is not working now. However, they work January, February, March. They work September through December. And you didn't submit any type of payment request. We will pay you for those months that you did not receive an outcome payment and the beneficiary was working and met the requirements. But for any claim month, the beneficiary is not working, does not hit work, I mean earnings from work, no, we do not pay you. And then you ask, what do you mean by suspension? That suspension or non-pay is a term used when the beneficiary Social Security stops sending federal benefit payments to a beneficiary. In other words, they're no longer getting federal payments. And then the last one is how current are the earnings in the portal? And this piggybacks on the question that was answered, earning. Portal earnings could be monthly, depending on if the beneficiary reported directly to Social Security. Or they could be quarterly. Any quarterly earnings we have may be 6 months old. So it all depends on how the earnings were reported and the method that they were reported. Okay. Katie, do you know the date of the most updated ticket portal user guide?
The most recent user guide just came out for the new VR payments, so it'll be March of this year.
And do you know the one before that?
Oh, give me 1 second. I can look it up.
Okay. Someone asked the question, is the February 26, 2016, the most updated ticket portal user guide? But the answer is no, because a new one is out now.
Right, but that the new one does. The new one has some small tweaks to ticket because we renamed some sections of the portal. We clarified, ticket payments, and
mm-hmm.
I made a couple of changes to a few screens, but
mm-hmm.
nothing major. February,
okay.
February is still accurate. There's nothing outdated, guidance-wise or instruction-wise in that version. But there is a new version available.
Does it go out to a gov delivery, how is that goes out to the end?
They should have gotten a gov delivery message letting them know that a new user guide was now available, and then they have to go to the secure site to access the ticket portal user guide.
Okay, that was the question from the last EN, where do we get the ticket portal user guide? So as Katie said, a gov delivery message did go out with the guide, and you can go to could you mention it again?
Just to clarify, we don't send the user guide out because it contains ticket portal screenshots.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
We don't actually distribute the ticket portal user guide. When
mm-hmm.
you were enrolled in the ticket portal, you received a welcome email. That email includes a link to the secure training website, and you were given a username and password to access that secure site. If you don't remember or have never accessed that secure site, you can email the, I believe it's the EN Systems Help Desk, and they
yes.
will get you set up to get back to that secure website to download the user guide.
Great. Great.
Thank you, Katie. John, do we have any questions presented via phone?
We do have one more question.
Yes, my question, this is John DePlessis. My question is that when you have the ePay, is every employment network files are actually run in terms of consumers that may be employed, or it's just a select few, or only a certain amount of number of files are actually run? How does that work?
All under ePay, all EN are included unless you're terminated or if you're on hold for any reason. And Social Security would tell you if you're on hold for any reason. The way the selection, and Katie could go into more detail, but it's based on earnings that we have for beneficiaries that are assigned to you and their pay status and their status. So it's a number of, rules for that selection or different criteria, but for the most part, if the beneficiary is assigned to you, if they're working, if they had earnings, that's the basic part of it. For beneficiaries who you may have worked with who are now deceased, of course, we don't give you that information, but, as long as your beneficiaries are working, as long as the ticket's not terminated, as long as the EN is not terminated or on hold at a high level, you will be selected. So those beneficiaries will be selected for ePay. And if we don't have any earnings for you, then, there's no payments there. But, that's basic rules for ePay.
Well, the question is asked, ePay on every consumer that I have? Is that file run on every consumer or only those consumers that are working is actually ones that the files are reporting?
As long as we have earnings in Social Security databases and a beneficiary, all beneficiaries, you say consumers, but as long as the beneficiary had earnings, they had to be working, had to have earnings, the earnings have to be at a certain level. Some beneficiaries work, but, their earnings are not at a certain level to even make you eligible for a payment. So, we have to follow the rules for the requirements for a payment. So, the answer to your question is pretty much yes. They would all be selected as long as they meet the requirements for earnings and the status, Social Security status. Beneficiaries who, for example, in suspense probably would not be there if they were in suspense, not for work or earnings, but for example, maybe their address, if an address situation, we don't have a valid address, and that record has to be corrected. So I can't go into all the details here, but at a high level, if they're working, they were assigned to you, they meet the earnings requirements, they don't have a terminated ticket, yes, they will be selected. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you would get a payment because we still have to manually work those cases to see if there are other things with that beneficiary status or whatever. So I'm just saying that you could have had beneficiaries selected for that ePay file only because of the earnings, but there are other reasons why we may not have made the payment. And one of the main reasons that we don't make payments that I've seen for the ePay file is that there are earnings out there and the beneficiary is in current pay, let's say, but they don't have enough earnings to meet a phase one milestone requirement. For example, they may have enough earnings for phase one milestone one, but they don't have enough earnings for the next phase one milestone. They may only have 2 months of earnings at trial work level, and we need three. Or they may have gotten a phase one milestone one and two, had 3 months of earnings, but they only have 5 months total earnings, and you need 6 months for the next phase one milestone. So it's things like that what we look at. Just because they're earnings there does not mean that a payment should be authorized.
Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome.
John, do we have any additional phone line questions presented?
There are no other questions in the queue.
And Deborah, no questions presented via chat, correct?
Correct.
Okay. As a reminder, TPM provides an opportunity to all EMs to discuss payment-related topics during the All EM Payments call. The full transcript and audio for the All EM Payments call are available on the Ticket to Work website under the Events and Archives section. This will conclude our presentation for today. Thank you all for your listening, your attention, and participation during the call. Please join us for our next call scheduled for July 25th, 2017. To all, have a great evening, and thank you.
That concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.